This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, September 12th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a great and interesting conversation with the Honorable Leslie Marcus Dean Sr., Most Worshipful Grand Master, Most Worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge, Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and the Turks and Caicos Island Incorporated. I'm kind of excited about this week because they're actually celebrating a Prince Hall week. There is actually a proclamation. Yes, there's actually a proclamation that got viral in the Bahamas. And it goes, whereas ancient craft masonry, Prince Hall affiliation, free and accepted masons was established in the Bahamas on the 1st of October, 1898. And whereas the Most Worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge of the Bahamas was established on the 27th February, 1950, as an autonomous body. And whereas, by an Act of Parliament, number 14 of 1975, the Most Worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge became incorporated as assented to the 5th of August, 1975. And whereas, through the years of adherence to the belief in God and brotherhood of man and revered tenets of Freemasonry, 30 constituent lodges and 24 chapters, Order of Eastern Star, have been established. And whereas, the continued promulgation of the parent bodies within the Prince Hall Masonic jurisdiction, the other Freemasonic pillars, namely Capitular Masonry, Cryptic Masonry, and Templar Masonry, have been nurtured and established with their counterparts in the Masonic jurisdiction, thus expanded the Prince Hall family. And whereas, the Masonic brethren have also formed and constituted consistories of ancient and accepted Scottish Rite Masonry and ancient Egyptian Arabic Order nobles of the Mystic Shrine, the nobility here in the Bahamas. Within our 124 years practicing ancient craft masonry in the Bahamas. And whereas, it is worthy to note that in addition to the national management of the grand bodies of the Bahamas, homage must be accorded to Companion Leslie M. Dean Sr., Knight York, Grand Cross of Honor, who currently serves as the State Deputy for the Grand Encampment of the Knight Templar for the United States and the Bahamas, obtaining the most eminent past Grand Master and most illustrious past Grand Master General Conference of Grand Council, Royal and Select Master for the United States of the Bahamas, and now serving as the Jurisdictional Deputy for the Bahamas and the 16th Most Worshipful Grand Master of Prince Hall Masonic Jurisdiction. The management and leadership authority were extended in May 2016 by the election of Sovereign Grand Commander III, Basil Lasilisans, deceased 33 degree for the United Supreme Council, an ancient accepted Scottish Rite Prince Hall affiliated, Northern Masonic jurisdiction, and representative worldwide. And whereas, the Reverend Fraternity of Free and Accepted Masons, Prince Hall affiliation, wherever dispersed, celebrates the life and legacy of its progenitor these past 249 years during the second week of September each year. Now, therefore, I, Philip E. Davis, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, do hereby proclaim the period commencing Sunday, 10th of September, 2023, and ending Saturday, the 16th of September, 2023, as Prince Hall Week in the Bahamas. In witness whereof, I here to set my hand and seal the 5th day of September, 2023, Philip E. Davis, Prime Minister of the Bahamas. And this was in the Tribune, September 6, 2023, that I'm reading from. And in my presence today, I have, again, the Honorable Leslie Marcus Dean, Senior, Most Worshipful Grand Master of the Prince Hall Grand Lodge in Company, along with the Right Worshipful Grand Secretary, Mr. Aaron Smith. And I would like to welcome you both. And just pull the mics closer to your lips so we can hear you. I'm excited to have you here today, by the way, right? Because Prince Hall is a big deal. Few Bohemians are familiar with the narrative, the myth, the mystery of who Prince Hall is, how significant he is into what I call the African world, the black world, that you are a part of like they say, the most worshipful grand master of the namesake of his, the lodge of his namesake. That is important and big news. And I'd like to welcome you here to Guardian Radio AM as you celebrate your Prince Hall Week.
Yes, good morning, Brother Nuri. It is a pleasure for us to be here. And good morning to the listening audience out there.
Go ahead.
It is good to be on Guardian Radio, and especially at this time during the year when we are reflecting and commemorating on our progenitor, Prince Hall.
So who is Prince Hall? Let's start from there. Who is this Prince Hall that Persians revere and reverence so much?
Let us go from the beginning. History informs us, and it is agreed and settled by the Grand Masters, the Conference of Grand Masters. Prince Hall was born in Barbados, in the West Indies, and at age 12, he migrated to Boston, where he lived with his parent, and he worked as a tanner in the leather industry, in the leather shop. During his boyhood life in Boston, as you know, the temperature, that is, the people in those days, you know the nature, the makeup, blacks and whites. Blacks were marginalized, and Prince Hall saw these actions and rejections of his people of color, throughout the Boston area, the seaport, and he was determined to assist as best he can. When he became of age, he, along with several other black men who were free, because to be a Freemason, you must be, one of the requirements is that you must be freeborn. You should be a slave. A bonded man could not be introduced into Freemasonry. You have to be a freeborn, free to, because then you find that to do the work that a Mason does in the community and in society, you must be free, without encumbrance. And so he and the other 14 free black men applied. They were desirous of forming into this organized fraternal organization. They made application to several of the mainstream lodges in the Boston area, but their applications were rejected. And eventually, in 1770, latter part of 1774, they made application to an Irish lodge, which was there operating along with the English. As you know, at that time, the U.S. was also a colonial state. Mm-hmm. The Irish lodge accepted their application. And so on March 6th, 1775, they were initiated, passed and raised to the sublime degree of Master Masons. They were made in the Irish Lodge number 441 in Boston, Massachusetts. Shortly after that, you know, the Civil War between the English and the Americans came to an end, where the English and the Irish soldiers, they had to leave. And Prince Hall and his his companions. Again, they apply for a charter from the provincial Grand Master in Boston to permit them to open and operate a lodge. And it was denied. They were denied, and after several attempts to several different lodges, Prince Hall eventually wrote to the Grand Lodge of England, to the Grand Master of England, and they granted, but Prince Hall a charter, it was called in the name of African Lodge, number 449, African Lodge number 449. Now that was in 1776, but they did not get the charter until around 1784, and that was primarily due because of the, to pass information in those days was by sea, and because of the Civil War, and although the fighting basically had ceased on land, there was still interference on the sea. Where ships were intercepted, and so it took longer for the information to travel from the UK to the East Coast in Boston. But so when they got the charter 449, they then that is when they changed the name from African Lodge to Prince Hall Lodge. That was in 1787. They organized lodges in New York and Rhode Island, and they continue spreading from one state to the other and across continental United States of America. Prince Hall was known in Boston area because of during that time too, there was still the underground trafficking, free persons who escaped from the South, from the slaves from the South. They wanted to be free, so once they get up in the North, they were then quartered and given housing and food. And those days at that time, Blacks were not permitted to go to school. So Prince Hall established a school in his house, where he, as well as some of the other well-learned men and women, taught the children. He also was a pastor. And so in gathering and through his pastorship, he influenced the men. And, as always, the women also encouraged the men to support, and we just grew from there.
So I want to interject you here. I appreciate that story and narrative about Prince Hall, so now I understand who he is. But how did the Prince Hall Lodge get to the Bahamas?
Bahamians migrate to United States from the latter part of, from the early... From the middle of the 1800s to work, and some of them went up north along the East Coast, especially during those Civil Wars, because they then work on the farms while the Americans fought on the fields. And so while those Bahamians who worked and lived in the United States while there, they too joined the lodges in those states where they were. And when they eventually came back home, they returned home to the Bahamas. Now, the first lodge in the Bahamas was established in 1898, which means that there must have been more than 15 brothers who were master masons made from within the United States who returned home but were desirous of having a lodge here in the Bahamas, so that they can continue practicing Freemasonry. And so they therefore apply to the Grand Lodge of New York for a charter. And the charter was granted Royal Eagle Lodge number 45 was the first lodge, the first Prince Hall Lodge established in the Bahamas.
And I want people to appreciate what you said there. This is 1898, the year you called, right?
Yes.
That a Prince Hall Lodge was established. These were black men who decided to form a lodge in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And this is why they had, of course, the Irish Lodge was already here, the English Lodge and the Scottish Lodge was already here, which was, by all pretense, was white lodges in the Bahamas at the time.
That is correct.
And these free black men came together because they had the experience of living abroad in the United States, more than likely, and came here and said, we can start our own lodge here.
It's the Prince Hall Lodge, the Prince Hall brand.
The Prince Hall brand. Okay. Yes. So I want to know the difference between fraternities and Masonic, because I understand that Prince Hall is a Masonic lodge. And then there's other things we're called just a fraternity. I want to know the difference.
Yeah, the lodges are here. You know, they all have some form of obligations or ceremonies that they go through. They undergo. The aims are similar, but a Masonic lodge is generally to those lodges that are or structures that have a structured system of degrees, I said the elder apprentice, fellow craft, and the master masons. That's the main structure for the lodge, and it is Masonic. It is and it's applied. Whereby on the other side, like for example, some of the other lodges, the Elks and the Odd Fellows, they have their system, but they are not. We don't call them. Refer them as Masonic lodges. We refer to them as the fraternal orders of Oddfellow or out of the Elks.
Okay, and I appreciate that because I wanted to know the difference. Put on your headset there because I see I have a call here and I want to engage the caller there. Caller, give me 30 seconds, caller. Yes, you can go now. Caller, can you hear me? Caller going once. Caller going twice. And the caller's gone. Sorry about that. I know I took long, but I wanted to hear the full narrative of what is the Prince... Oh, the caller's calling back now. Pass the caller straight through there, producer. So, forgive me for that. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
A pleasant morning, Mr. Nuri.
How you doing there, Sparky? I know he's going to call, so I said, I'm going to give you all 2 minutes. You have 2 minutes, Sparky, instead of a regular 30 seconds.
Dean is listening too.
yes, Brother Sparky, I'm listening. Good to hear you, bro.
Go ahead with your real Sparky.
Tell him, Mr. Brother Dean, if he won't have a story, he can't give Sparky no 30 seconds.
You get 2 minutes, Sparky. Go ahead.
Well, first, my journey started down Brother Dean. I didn't know where I was joining. I was working at Deltek back in 1972, and the guys there were in lodges, and I always knew my fathers and uncles, them. Several of them were in Elks and Masons, and I was always curious to join. So when I joined, I went with Kaya Mark and them, and I found out that I was in the middle of modern free and accepted Masons.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was when I went home, my old man sucked his teeth. He said, what you doing with them people? I said, well, when I was leaving that night, you said Masons is Masons. You didn't tell me which one was which one, so I ended up. He said, boy, get over to where you're supposed to be, Prince Hall. So I got at the Mitt, and I ended up at St. James number 3, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
My father-in-law was the Right Honorable Arthur Leroy Dean, as you know.
Yes.
Back in the day, I came over to St. James, Camp Road Hill, St. James number 3. I was brought in. I was authorized and everything as a Master Mason, as a Blind Prince of the Royal Secret, all of that kind of thing.
Yeah,
as you know, also back in 1976, Prince Hall's Week started, and also you could tell Brother Nuri that Sparky was the one that organized the Prince Hall Blood for March from Rawson Square to the Princess Margaret Hospital with Ms. Norma Allen.
That is correct.
Where I think at this day we still have a record at the blood bank for donating 196 pints of blood.
That is correct.
We were honored by Government House and all that kind of thing. And I guess you know I got in a little argument with some of the heads in those days when the big heads wanted to take all the glory. And my ex-wife at that time said, well, you did all of this for them, and now they go up to get the plaque and all that kind of thing, and all over their nest. I didn't mention you. But, you know, things happen and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, Brother Dean, I've been trying to get back. I was despondent back then for a while. I've been trying to get back to St. James and visit you at Royal Eagle in St. Columbus. Lately, it's been difficult for me to even attempt to come climb up those stairs. I had an injury, and me to walk up to the third floor, the first floor, the second floor, would be rather difficult. You maybe have to have lodge in the parking lot for me, because you guys didn't think. I noticed that architects and engineers never thought that all the buildings that they designed, that they were going to get old one day and can't get to the third floor.
That is something.
It's difficult for me to walk to the third floor. As you know, it came to Buster Christie, Ship Sale, mm-hmm. and all those guys. Eventually, one time, you had to lift them up to get up to the third floor.
And Sparky, that's your 2 minutes. And I appreciate the call because I enjoyed your story. And your story is important, especially regarding the narrative of the Prince Hall Lodge. And I wanted to know about old people. And I was talking to the Grandmaster earlier about elderly, senior, regular Prince Hall Masons, right? What happens to them when they get to that age, when they can't make it to the meetings? What happens to the wives of these persons when they have transitioned into eternity? Does the Prince Hall as an institution continue that brotherly, that fraternity connection with their transitioned brothers, family, and the elderly Prince Hall members?
Yes, Brother Neary, each lodge have an officer corps, and they have a mandate that is set on them, not only on themselves, but that is something that we practice. A portion of the fees that are paid annually goes specifically to charity. And so the senior warden is usually the person in the officer corps line who is responsible for coordinating visitations to our sick and sharing, our widows, the elderly person who cannot attend lodges anymore, but they will go and visit them to cheer them up. They will take food baskets or gift cards. And on Mother's Day and Father's Day, we acknowledge and they visit the mothers, give them flowers, and the fathers also give them what they can afford at time, because normally we have in each group you may have anywhere from, and at one time our list for Royal Eagle was somewhere about 28 persons that we had to 28 to 32 on our list that we had to have regular rounds of attendance. But the thing is that it is always so wonderful when we visited with them, because the widows or the widower, they was always happy, and they would tell us about their experiences with their either themselves or their parent as they were involved in the fraternity. And we sing and we pray together, and they make us feel good. They make us feel good that doing that. We felt fulfilled as a part of our duty, that is, that we owe to our brothers and sisters.
I noticed that a number of Christian leaders are inside of Prince Hall Lodge. When I was growing up, my neighbors, even my stepfather, terrified of the lodge. They said, "You're going to graveyard. That's the lodge was going to graveyard. They have rituals. Are you all a Christian entity, or should I be concerned?"
We don't consider ourselves a Christian entity, but the prerequisite for an individual who is desirous of joining the organization, they must believe in a supreme being, and that is God. We do not accept atheists. So
I can't be atheist and join the
no
person?
No.
I gotta believe in God.
You gotta believe in a supreme being. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be, because sometimes people of different denominations can be members. So we say a supreme being, mm-hmm. The volume of the sacred law that is always are open on our altars. Right? The attention is drawn to the individual from the very beginning, and that is the Holy Bible. And we say to be admonished them, or be admonished them by saying to them that we present that to them, and they are to use it as the rule and guide to themselves for life.
I see I have a caller here, and I got Patrick to call it through, but I was told that Prince Hall Bible kind of big, it have extra books.
No.
You have a regular 66 books?
We have the canonized Bible. Better King James, and the one we normally use, the King James version, that's the one we usually have. Now, what perhaps some people have heard about, but they themselves do not find out. But they must understand that the Bible that we use today was decided upon by the church mm-hmm. in 325 AD at the Council of Nice. They decided which books to include in the Bible. They eliminated some books from the Bible. They didn't want the people to know all the books mm-hmm. in the Bible.
So let's go to this caller, and then I want to talk about celebration. How are we celebrating this week of Prince Hall? So I want to go to that. But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Louis.
Good morning.
And good morning to your guests. I see you like this graveyard story, boy.
I wouldn't care about the graveyard. I wouldn't care about the rituals.
Yeah, well, okay. I heard you introduce the gentleman as being affiliated with the Knights Templar. You know, who was also an Order of Solomon, and that was a military order founded by the Catholic faith, one of the most wealthiest military orders in the Western Christianity. I want to know if you affiliated with the Romans, particularly the Roman Catholic Church, because, you know, the Romans were the ones. By the way, I studied with the Rosicrucians. That's Rosicrucian. No, we might not know about us.
I know. I'm aware of the group.
Okay.
I'm aware.
But I want to ask you a specific question. The Romans crucified Christ, and then they also opened up a Roman Catholic Church. How do you feel comfortable going to a Roman Catholic Church, and those Romans were the ones who crucified Christ?
Let me say first back again, Knight Templarism did not begin in the Catholic Church. Knight Templarism was in existence long before. It was the church that there were three different groups, and the church then, and the Knights of Jerusalem, which evolved into what you call now Knights of Columbus. That is the group that is sponsored by the Catholic Church. And the reason why they did that too is because they prohibited. It was Pope Clement XIII issued a bull to excommunicate all, no member of the Catholic faith were permitted to join a Masonic order. And so for many years, until very recently, the bull was lifted, and Masons were permitted in some areas to go and visit and fellowship in the Catholic Church. But the Knights of Columbus is not the Knight Templarism that we are associated with. We are associated with the Knight Templars whose aim was to protect and promote our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And luckily, I have to bring you back just to interrogate all of that, because that sounds like something I would like to investigate. That, and do you all do magic?
No.
No magic?
No.
Okay, let's talk about the celebration, right? The celebration of what is all happening. I know recently you all had Dr. Robert as part of your celebration for Prince Hall Week, and I want to know what he was doing for that celebration, because I know he invited. So let's go over the celebration. What are you all doing?
Let's go back a little bit, I guess. Other than doing our Masonic charitable work in the communities, we also look for the welfare of not only our membership, but also to the wider public. And it began several years ago when one of our most worshipful past grandmaster, Clyde Barclay Bethel, who worked with a company based out of, I think it's New York, and he was exposed to the organization, Us Too. And so he was instrumental in encouraging two other brothers, namely Past Master Wendell Barry and Jack Stirrup, to work along with him. And it was Bethel who was instrumental in constituting, getting a branch of Us to establish here, up on in Collins Avenue, 7th Terrace, just down on the bottom from Z&S, mm-hmm. where that place there. You go in there, you see his plaque is there in his memory. It was under his charge. And it is Us Too where, and it has living facilities for persons coming in from the Family Islands, getting service from there. And I'm going to ask the Grand Secretary to just to mention, but be looking at for the welfare. The men, as you know, we want them to get their prostate check. But the Secretary, maybe you can add to that.
Thank you, Grandmaster. Us Too is basically geared toward us men. As you know, men are always afraid to go to the doctors to get our checkup, and that's our number one killer, prostate cancer. So with the prostate cancer, that's something that we as men really need to take under consideration. That is important that we go and get our checkup every year. Us too, being established now and being a part of Dr. Roberts' program, which he also spearheads now, we encourage men to just go ahead and get that prostate exam every year. As a matter of fact, this month is considered prostate month for men here in the Bahamas. So what has been established is that over the next few weeks, clinics will be held in the various at Elizabeth Estate Clinic, at Fleming Street, at South Beach Clinic, and another clinic there here for the north, at Flamingo Clinic, for all men, where from 5:30 in the day on those days, which will be promoted, all men can go to attend one of those clinics over the next three-week period to get a free checkup.
I want to interject here, right? And I appreciate, because I need to get my prostate check, and I heard that they don't use that finger anymore to do blood, so that's a good thing. But I wanted to ask this, right? You all have women in Prince Hall?
Yes.
So you all, and that's called chapters, right?
They're called chapters.
I just want to make sure that we include the women in all that, because I know we're talking about the men right there, and Prince Hall is a fraternity, but I just want to mark a point right here is that we'll go back and mention something about the chapter so I can understand that some listening audience know that they can, women also can join Prince Hall and go in the chapter.
We have what is called adoptive rights. The adoptive rights. Every male house has the privilege to coordinate chapters in the case for us, and as for Master Masons, we have the Order of the Eastern Stars as the adoptive right counterpart for the male. So the wives, the daughters, and family members, they are eligible to make application and join the chapter.
And they do the same thing as the male fraternity, similar type things?
Charitable work, yes, outreach, yes, the same. In fact, sometimes you find the chapters are doing more community work than the men, because they're hands-on.
And women are created to yes, nurture, so yes. I understand that. Mm-hmm. If people are interested in joining the Prince Hall the Prince Hall affiliate, right, and or want to join one of the Royal Star, Do you have a contacts, a face of social media page, even in terms of the activities you're having for this week? How can they find out? So these are the things you can come and be a part of.
Well, normally, for public consumption, there will only be not many activities that we have for
the general public.
Mm-hmm. Other than, I know this weekend we're going to have some competition, softball games, inter-lodge and in chapters playing softball. That's open to the public.
I can come watch that.
You can watch that, yes.
Saturday.
And if we have, sometimes we have social outreach, like stakeout and our fundraisers and stuff like that, we go public on that. Or if you have a banquet, we advertise and can everybody, public, general public, can participate. One of the reasons, too, why when we go to the public is because we give back to the public. We don't just go and get funds from the public. We have a foundation. We have Prince Hall Masonic is the William Watson Thompson Development Foundation, where we not only assist indigent brothers or sisters, but we give, the principle there is we give scholarships. We seek to get at least two scholarships per year to, once we have our scholarship committee do their interviews, application, they make recommendations. We do at least two scholarships per year. So we give back to society.
Okay. Another quick question. What's the difference between a PHO, Prince Hall Origin, and a PHA, Prince Hall Affiliate?
The PHO came out of the Prince Hall family. In the early beginning, the Prince of, after Prince Hall got the charter and they started established lodge in the United States, there were challenges. They faced challenges as they moved from the East Coast along the state lines into other states. From the mainstream lodges that were in place, the whites, and so to assist them in moving the process, they decided to organize a national group who would help them to go into these areas and set up these lodges, and it's called the National Compact. Okay? And they operated for a while. The National Compact, they would go and assist them to set up lodges. But then what happened is that as time evolved, some of the leadership of the National Compact want to assume responsibilities similar to the structure of UGLE, United Grand Lodge of England, where you have one Grand Master and you have across the globe, they have lodges across the globe. There's only one Grand Master mm-hmm. in the whole system. They use what they call provincial Grand Masters and so the National Compact wanted that same structure. They want to be the controlling arm of all Prince Hall lodges. And they be under each jurisdiction in the various all the states wherever they are set up, they be answerable to them, a similar structure. Under the Grand Lodges at that time did not agree to that because they had no autonomy. They had no autonomy unto themselves. As it is now, each grand jurisdiction is autonomous unto themselves. They set up their guidelines. Their guidelines that we use, we call them landmarks, and that would be used to guide in setting up your rules and regulations, in line with the Masonic principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, when they left, they withdrew. Those Grand Masters, and 22 of them withdrew from the National Compact.
Mm-hmm.
And for a period, they went underground, not no activity. And when they came out, when they eventually, after 10 years, I think it was 10 years, a 10-year lapse, here they rose up as the Phoenix. But the lodges apparently were not dissolved, but they came back and tried to resurrect. And so therefore, the differentiation was then that was taken by those grand masters or the grand lodges when they separated from the national compound. They then adopted the PHA, and that is to distinguish all of those grand jurisdiction, distinguishing themselves from the national compact group. The national compact group, when they reorganized, where they came back alive in the late 1887, right about them, they called themselves, oh, there is a Prince Hall origin. You know, and so, but we do not recognize them. We have no, we know that they came out of us. Likewise, all the other lodges operating in the Bahamas, black lodges, they came out of Prince Hall, but not in the Bahamas. It began in the United States. And it happened where men who were either leaders in the respective grand lodges, they, whatever reason, they, some of them were they were expelled for reasons that, unmasonic reasons. And so what they did, they had all the information, so they organized their own lodges.
Okay.
And then they went into the other states, and then they came into the Bahamas.
I understand, and I appreciate it. It's part of the narrative, so people can understand and appreciate the difference and decide on which one, I guess, they want to be a part of. But continuing regarding the celebrations, right? We have softball games, right? Well, what else do we have? Because I saw some pictures of y'all in the Family Islands.
Right? Oh, yeah, East Family Island. This week of activity is happening. We have 49 grand jurisdictions in the Prince Hall family. And this week, wherever, across the United States of America, Europe, the Caribbean, and the Bahamas, we all are celebrating our progenitor, our Prince Hall. We do it a different way, a different style. Each family, each district in the Family Islands, the brothers them come together, they organize, and the programs and activities, they will do it, you know, according to the island. They do outreach programs on the island. Some had activities starting from last week, but they decide what they want to do. But the main thing is that they have some activities, more interaction with their communities, and to culminate or to begin, I'll be at the church service, anniversary church service, where we go to church to pay homage and respect, remember our progenitor. 249 years. Prince Hall Freemasonry and the first Prince Hall affiliation, the first representing the introduction of Freemasonry among men of color in the Western world. Prince Hall, in the Bahamas, we celebrating in October, on October 1st, we make 125 years, practicing Freemasonry in the Bahamas. All of the major islands, we have lodges, some only one, some we have four, some we have three. At one time, the Lutra had seven, but they're down because the population diminished and other stuff like that. Now be down to two active, two. The Grand Lodge was incorporated, as in the proclamation said, in 75. So we just celebrated our 73rd anniversary in February of this year, which coincided with our 50th anniversary of the Bahamas, and so
it's impressive that the Prince Hall affiliate was even older than the country of independence. You've been in existence that long.
Oh yes, and I must say though, very important that we place great emphasis, and this is happening in all of the Prince Hall jurisdiction. We have some program. You know, we have. You always hear people comment about the young people in the communities and in the country. Well, we have a program called the KOP, Knights of Pythagoras, for young boys. It's a mentoring group where we have young, we have master masons to mentor help guide and coach the young boys. We have a similar group for the young girls called the Order of Yellow Elders.
Give me your phone number for people to get in contact with you.
My cell phone is 242-477-7588.
And how many chapters do you have? Not chapters, lodges do you have inside the Bahamas right now?
30. We have 30.
30. And how many chapters do you have in the Bahamas right now?
24.
So, okay. So there are more than enough lodges and more than enough chapters that Bahamians can go and join and be a part of this Freemasonry.
Yes, but there are prerequisites. What would be required of you? Police record, a health certificate, and there's a fee.
Okay.
An application form that must be completed.
Well, we got to go. We're going to invite you back. This is Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.